You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Become a Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We have Marnie Carmichael on the line, and she is the VP of Marketing over at Image Source, Inc. Marnie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Adam. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh my gosh. So I'm so excited to announce that you'll be an upcoming author in our latest Business Leaders series release. And just want to first off just say, hey, welcome to the author community.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. It was, when we first talked about it, I was like, I don't think I can pull that off. But yeah, we did it. So that's awesome.
I told you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all. We'll dive into our Mission Matters Minute. Mm-hmm. Marnie, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Marnie, what mission matters to you?
So we are on a mission to make life better by making work easier. And we do that through process innovation at Image Source. And we're process innovation experts. We work with organizations from Fortune 50 to state and local government agencies to improve their business processes. And that can be for operational improvements. That is, we're very much also focused on helping them improve their customer experiences and their constituent experiences. So those outcomes are, you know, excellent for both sides of the participant, the internal employee and the external participant. We want those processes to move seamlessly, to work effortlessly, and to help them build out an infrastructure that they can continue to grow with for their business process initiatives.
So Marnie, I want to go further into Image Source, but before we do that, I want to go further into your background.
Okay.
As we've gotten to know each other a little bit better, I've learned more about your professional background. Like, you've had this, I don't know if I should say obsession, but definitely this focus on just process and automation and innovation. Like, if I had to say like the themes that have gone throughout your career, like when did all that begin for you?
You know, I think some things kind of happen by accident, and then you look back and you're like, wow, it all stacked up to get me where I needed to be. But, you know, I think personally, if I have a skill, it's I can help explain technical concepts in a simple way. And that has served me in all areas of my career. So I started out working for at the time it was a technology company, Scantron. It was the testing company where, you know, you fill out the bubble on the paper and then, you know, there was some technology behind that to turn
Take
that into
back to childhood with the Scantrons.
I know with your number two pencils. Yeah. But you know what that did there is it taught me the basic concepts of how to extract data from something that doesn't look meaningful, right? That piece of paper and that pencil doesn't look like it's meaningful business information, but there could be a lot of magic behind that. And obviously that technology has evolved. I'm not going to age myself or date myself, but things have come a long way from the pencil and paper. And then I moved into a product management phase of my career where I really did leverage that skill of working through technical concepts simply. As a product manager, you translate the concept from the customer's need to the engineering team, and then from the software that you develop back to the customer. Does it match? Does it do what you need it to do? And then you get to start marketing it to share with others, this is the problem it solves. And so over the years, I've evolved that part of my career to now, you know, I'm in marketing leadership where we really strive to explain what we do to customers and our partners in a simple, straightforward way. And we want to help you go from, you know, a process that you think you might just have a hunch it's not working as well as it could, or you could really know it's broken and isn't meeting your customers' needs or your regulatory compliance standards. And we're going to explain to you how we're going to get you to the end result. And we're going to get you some quick wins along the way so you can reflect throughout your organization that you're making really great progress.
Yeah. And I think one of the interesting things about this is, for me, is that idea of also the, not just the innovation, but the automation mm-hmm. aspect of it, because you've, throughout your career, I mean, you've seen it at multiple companies, different places. Now, of course, you're with Image Source and helping them and helping other clients through this. But what have you seen in terms of like automation? And I don't mean a specific example, but like, what have you seen that it's meant to maybe some of the businesses and some of the stakeholders that you've helped or work with your teams to help implement? Like, what does automation mean to you?
Well, it should always be focused on making something better. That's what I would say. Like, it needs to be making your operations more efficient, and that should result in cost savings. That should impact your bottom line positively, or it should be making your customer experience better. And that should result in customer retention and growth within your customer base. And if automation isn't doing those things for you, if it's just, you know, bells and whistles, or this is what we think we should have, or this is what, you know, our neighbor has or our competitor has, it has to be a much more thoughtful decision. I know in our business and in the customer partners we've helped, we've seen so many instances where they started out with a great piece of technology that promised automation. And then we kind of look at it a little bit later and it's like, we've got a lot of band-aids here, you know, and we're not really addressing the core issue and thinking it through. So we believe it's really important to understand the current state you're in. Mm-hmm. And understand and document and create a lot of consensus on where you want to go. And then we are really experts in helping you get there. So the technology is kind of is not the methodology. It's just a part. It's a means to an end. So we really have to stay focused on how is this going to make your business better? How is this going to make your operations more efficient? Or how is this going to make your customer experience better?
I want to jump around here a little bit, and just for the audience, just so you know, we're going to keep it pretty high level on the book today, but we will be bringing Marnie back on the show when the book is actually live, because we want to sell books, right? So we're not going to give it all to you today, and it's still in editing and process, so there's room here. But broadly speaking, Marnie, just for our little teaser for the audience, what are some of the ideas or some of the things that you hope the readers get out of your writing in the upcoming book?
Yeah, I think a little bit of what I just talked about too, that you don't have to, two things, you don't have to be afraid of approaching a large scale automation project. You can break it into manageable chunks and you can break it into quick wins. So you see some results that validate your choices as you go through the process. And you also don't have to be stuck where you are. You know, you may have made a sizable investment in a solution that now you have some growing pains with. We are very much focused on helping you leverage your investments. So we're not rip and replace. It's not like, oh, great, you bought that yesterday, and now we're going to ask you to throw it away and pay for something else. We really try to look at a solution holistically. How can we make the most out of what you have and fill some of those gaps? We do have a process innovation platform that we'd love an organization to standardize on, but we're also really realistic, and there's plenty of pieces in the puzzle that are working well and that day-to-day operations rely on, and we would not want to disrupt that. A lot of organizations we work with deliver critical services either to consumers or to citizens. And the thing that is of the utmost importance is to keep that service delivery active. You know, we're talking about unemployment benefits or child welfare benefits or lending or, you know, credit reporting. And so we want those processes to be working seamlessly as they're improved and the operation becomes more efficient.
You mentioned something earlier in the interview that I don't want to glance over. I want to make sure we dig a little bit deeper on this, because I think it's a unique process that that should be highlighted. And that is the idea of getting some quick wins in the beginning, mm-hmm. like in the mm-hmm. process that you use to do this, because that's not always the case. And I think it just amplifies what you said. Like, we're looking, we don't have to rip out everything that was already done. And it's about leveraging investments you've already made if possible. Right. So tell us more about the quick wins philosophy.
Yeah. So first of all, it's based on a partnership, right? So we call our customers customer partners. So when we go in to help them improve a process or to automate a new process, we spend some time making sure we understand how the user is participating in the process, their employees are participating in the process, and the customers are participating in the process. Because we're very thorough in documenting their current state and then in making sure we're all in agreement of where they need to go, we can break that down into this is the most important thing. For example, if an organization has, during the pandemic, we saw a lot of organizations had to pivot so quickly to being completely online, mm-hmm. and some of their infrastructure didn't support that new bandwidth of requests for processes. That could be an unemployment claim. Again, it could be an electronic, credit reporting dispute. It could be an application for a loan. But the method that they were coming in changed, but the requirements to process them didn't. So we were able to help organizations look really quickly at we can diagnose a bandwidth problem and we can help you address that right now remotely. And then we expanded that view to say now everybody's working from home. All your employees are working from home. If you're processing a loan, if you're a loan agent and now you're working in your home, what's important to me as a loan applicant is that my information is confidential and secure and protected. So then we address that next issue. So get the bandwidth thing taken care of. People are happy. People are working remotely. Now let's work on how are we going to help you secure your customers' information in these new environments. So that's the second win. The next win is, now you've got an increased bandwidth and guess what? There's a new regulation that's going to ask you to process things even faster. So how are we going to prepare you for that? So what we call it is vision engineering. We try to do that with our customer partners, develop a vision. We know where you are. Let's get you where you need to be immediately. And here's how we collaborate on where we think we can get you in a year and 6 months and 9 months. And then we start breaking those down into projects and knocking those out as successful milestones.
Yeah. And I see that the infrastructure behind doing this, I like to kind of elaborate on that a little bit more, because you're working with and one of the specialties are with highly regulated industries, mortgages, finance, things to where somebody can't just, make a snap decision and change a process or something. You're dealing with things like regulation and law. So can you maybe elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, we do work with highly regulated organizations and industries, state and local governments, financial services, higher ed. They all have a lot of kind of top-down infrastructure or decisions for them. Yeah. So the good news is that those organizations have experts in that. And that's where we want their expertise to be. We want them to be experts in what they have to deliver and when. And then we partner with them to be experts in how they'll deliver it. We know the market has really changed for technology partnerships and vendors in the last 2 years. And they want partners to help them innovate forward. So that's where we really try to focus their effort. We do listen to and partner with the highest level executives in those roles, the CIOs, the CSOs, chief security officers in those organizations, to make sure the processes we're suggesting match those regulations. For us, the most important thing is to be accessible, be responsive and agile in how we work with those partnerships, and then for us to be innovating within our own platform so we can extend that to our partners and their infrastructure.
Yeah. What kind of advice would you give to or tips would you give to those that, they know something's not quite working? They really don't know where to start. What kind of things would you say?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And thank you for asking it. I would first, just really strongly encourage them to acknowledge that nudge. I don't think it's working. Because there's so many times when we're like, I don't think it's working as well as it could, but it is working. So I'll wait till it breaks. Acknowledge that nudge before there's a crisis, because it's so much more efficient to improve something when you have the time to see it from end to end. When there's a crisis and you're putting out a fire, you're probably going to miss some long-term benefits that you could gain. So first I would acknowledge that and, kind of start those discussions internally. The second is, if you have a partner, a technology partner, just start running it past them. You're under no obligation to buy something when you talk about what your problems are. And, you're meant to leverage those relationships for innovation, as I mentioned, and for expertise. One thing about ImageSource is we've been doing this for nearly 30 years. And so we have in our executive team, I think we have over 600 person years experience. Yeah. And then when you start extending that out to our system engineers and implementation specialists, mm-hmm. we have things to share with you. We can tell you how the agency down the road did it. We can tell you perhaps how a competitor or somebody right next to you in the market has done it. Mm-hmm. So don't hesitate to use those relationships to get information and validate, like, yeah, that you may not be in the best practice zone, so let's help you get there. And then again, create consensus internally and start identifying how you can break those projects down into some good wins. The wins build credibility for the decision makers internally too. Their management and their stakeholders see, like, oh, they are progressing through that project. They're addressing that business problem. And that gives you a lot more credibility to make longer term decisions internally.
Marnie, you are such a professional, first off. Like, I just learned something brand new, and I will be saying this. If you're one of my clients and and we're doing a review, you might hear this out of my mouth pretty soon. You're not in the best practice zone, but that's the best one I've ever heard, and it's accurate, and it made me feel good. I'm like, I would feel much better if that was the feedback when I knew something wasn't working and I, you know, had to take my lumps. And I say it kind of jokingly, but it's true. It is true. And ultimately, we know as executives out there and the ones that are watching this, like, if you're not in the best practice zone, that's a problem. And the longer you stay not in that zone, possibly the longer that, you know, your organization, whether it's through opportunity cost or direct cost, are not maybe maximizing resources, right?
Yeah. And there's no shame in that. Like, things change, best practices evolve, and new technology comes out. And that's the thing, you know, in the organizations we work with, not everybody can be expert in everything. Like, you need collaborators. So, you know, bring them to the table, leverage that.
So tell me a little bit more, and let's talk a little bit more about just the customer journey and what that looks like to work with ImageSource overall. Because I know a lot of times, like, even if something isn't working, if there's something that needs to be done, like, all of us as executives are like, okay, this is another thing. We know we need to handle it. But tell us a little bit more about the journey.
So I think we have two primary customer journeys. So if it's somebody who ImageSource hasn't worked with before, who is unfamiliar with us, you might come to us because we've identified ourselves to you as somebody who solves a business problem you have. Mm-hmm. Like, in our upcoming webinar, we're talking about public records requests, which is an ongoing pressure area for state and local agencies, you know, colleges and universities, and some private companies who do businesses for federal government. So there's lots of public records that you need to deliver upon request. So you may have seen us saying, hey, we've reimagined this process and we've got some ways to show you how to make this frictionless for yourself and for the people making those requests. So you would come to us and we would share with you kind of where we're at and where our vision has evolved in that solution. From there, you know, I don't know about you, but when I get sold something I already know I want to buy, I don't really want to talk about it very much, but we're going to ask you to talk about it for a while. We're going to ask you to really just, we don't want to be one of those people who sold you a Band-Aid. So we really want to be in it with you to make sure we're the right match. You know, is our turnkey SaaS solution right for you, or do you need something customized for your organization? So we're going to have more of an exploratory relationship for a while before we move forward. You can certainly, you know, read our success stories. You can certainly touch our other customer partners that we've worked with in similar solutions. And then we're really going to partner with you every step of the way. One thing about ImageSource is we don't consider a project done until you've told us back, you gave us what we asked for and we're satisfied. So that project window, that sales window can stay open as long as it needs to, because if it doesn't work for you, we don't want to be a part of that. You know, we want to be a part of a partnership and a joint success. So that's what the new customer journey would really look like. I think another part of our business is working with customers we already have to expand their use of our platform, and also to continue to innovate on the solutions they have in place, the automation they have in place. And, you know, we had an experience like this earlier in the week. We were going through a sales training, talking about one of our success stories. And as we went through it, we kind of identified, like, wow, we got that customer into a 90%, you know, reduce their errors down to 10%. Errors meant those are the ones that need human intervention. So 90% of their processes became automated. And as we were talking it through, we realized we had improved our technology and we should go back to them and talk to them about that 10% gap and how we could start to close that and get them down to maybe 5% of their transactions need to be touched or 4% of those transactions needed to be touched. So then we're talking about more operational efficiency, more reduced costs, and we're all about helping you repurpose your staff. So they're working on really busy, you know, the human elements of your customer transactions. Those are what makes customers feel great and keep them coming back. Those should be excellent. And so we want to help you repurpose those touches so they're great. So that's how those journeys would work. If you're an existing customer, we're always thinking about you. We're always, you know, we're in touch with you quarterly and having these business reviews so you know where our technology has gone. And so it keeps us thinking about how we can help you improve and, you know, and move forward in your process innovation journey.
Great. So Marnie, just have to say it has been a pleasure having you on the show today and getting to know more about you and your background in automation and innovation, process innovation, and obviously what you're doing over at Image Source and the great work over there. That being said, I just have to ask, what's next? I mean, what's the next on the horizon for you, your career, Image Source? What's next?
Well, I hope to be at Image Source for quite a while. I have no plans in that area. One of the things I'm really passionate about in my role and that I learned from people I've worked for over the years is I'm looking for my replacement here. You know, I want to make sure that I'm training up our staff to be thinking about our customers, be thinking about our marketing initiatives, being use the data we have, the analytics we have to make great decisions. So I get really invested in my team's career path, you know, in our new hires career path outside of my reporting structure. So I'm really passionate about that. How can I make, you know, other people successful in this industry? How can I impart the knowledge I have on process innovation, on, you know, on the history of like from Scantron to, you know, iPhone application submission. I love to share that and continue to break down those complex business problems simply so more customers can experience the benefits of process innovation. And so more of us can talk about them articulately and, you know, help other organizations through it.
If somebody's watching this or listening to this in their car on their drive, I mean, what's the best way for people to follow up and to connect with Image Source and you overall?
Yeah. So please visit us at imagesourceinc.com or on LinkedIn. You can find us there. You can find me there, Marnie Carmichael. You can find Image Source there, but that's definitely the best way. I'd be happy for you to ping me directly and I can chat with you or I can match you up with the right person in the organization. But we would love to continue a conversation, even if it's just about how you're innovating your processes. You know, that's super important for us to build relationships with others in the community and keep us moving forward together.
Wonderful. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time watching or engaging with a Mission Matters episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, you know, why they do what they do and what we can all learn and gain from that so we all grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or engaging to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Marnie, really, it has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Adam. See you soon.